Good afternoon. Today is Friday, March the 30th, 90th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the guy that brings us all the weather.
And tsunamis.
And et cetera, et cetera. And the river warning statements. Troy Nicolini. Hey, guy. So it was safe to leave the island to head to the mainland this afternoon.
Yeah, we've got great staff there covering, absolutely.
The bay isn't rising.
No.
Okay, good, good.
We actually have pretty low astronomical tides. Maybe that's the one positive thing. The tides have been pretty low through this whole event.
Astronomical tide?
That's the tide being pulled by the moon and sun.
You mean the tide?
The tide, sorry, yeah. Well, there's also...
He's been playing with the textbooks again.
No. But there's that tide, and then there's the storm surge that's from the storms that piles on top of that. And that's what hits King Salmon every year. The astronomical tides with the storm surge is what gives us the 8.5, 9-foot tides.
That's called storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Storm tides.
Tide, storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be one of those kinds of shows, methinks. We'll talk a little bit about the tsunami. Actually, that's what we were originally going to be talking about when we got together. And spend about, 2-3 seconds on that one. And we'll talk about what's going on all around the region when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Do we call you the number 2 meteorologist in charge? The assistant meteorologist in charge? Nancy's guy?
Sure, yeah. Or you could just call me Troy.
Oh. Nah.
Technically the warning coordination meteorologist, and I don't think you probably want to know what that title means. But
I think I know what it means. I don't want to know, man. Our quote this afternoon comes from Nehru. A leader or man of action in a crisis almost always acts subconsciously and then thinks of reasons for his actions. I would think that would probably be pretty good protocol to talk about processing in a tsunami, in a flood. Do what you got to do and then worry about whether or not what you did might have been 100% accurate. When you're looking at the preliminary, the buildup for the tsunami warning cycles, do you guys factor that in at all? That there's just going to be some things we don't know, and hopefully everybody's got their base level and instinct is working well, and that'll take it today?
Well, that's a really timely thing, because the big lesson from the tsunami in Japan a year ago is that there's some cultural things there about look out for yourself. Don't get caught by assumptions, take action yourself and be proactive. And the folks who had to adhere to that philosophy did really well. And we've noticed a trend in the U.S. where people tend to want the government, they tend to believe the government's going to take care of everything for them. And for example, a tsunami. When we've conducted drills, we've actually had folks ask who's going to be there to, put a bridge over the river, for example, in real time. We're talking 10 minutes before the wave arrives, and so we have to explain that. That's why we're doing the drills, to make sure that you are absolutely ready to take care of yourself with little notice. We're happy to be involved in the training and the drilling, but people have to have a sense of self-reliance, prepare their family, themselves, and have a plan. And, there's that self-reliance thing, I think, is a really critical ingredient. And Japan was a crazy laboratory for that. One school was wiped off the face of the earth. Most of the children and teachers perished because they weren't adhering to that philosophy. Another school, everybody lived because they had that ingrained in their culture and their behavior. So,
you really had somebody locally say, when will you be putting down the bridge?
Yeah, in 10 minutes.
Really?
So, yeah, we are frequently wanting to make sure folks know. But, you can't blame people. You dial 911 and a red fire engine shows up or a police car shows up. But there's some hazards that you have to take action and make those decisions on your own right away with nobody there to hold your hand. And so that requires self-reliance and some common sense. No, absolutely. Yeah.
That's frightening.
We just test the technical system associated with tsunami warnings, and we had airplanes and radio stations were interrupted and TV stations, and we had reverse calling, all these great systems, and those, we hope those work. But we're always following up with the message that, hey, none of that stuff might work in a real tsunami. In particular, if it's just a natural warning, the earthquake's your warning, you have to know that that means go to high ground. And if you know that, you'll survive. If you don't know that, you could be in serious trouble.
Yeah, I would think if you felt an earthquake, that's a pretty good indicator. It's the ones, what was it, somewhere, was it Chile? Yeah. Last month, earlier this month, it had a pretty significant one.
Right.
But there was never any discussion that there would be anything along the West Coast. And then the one in Japan, which is about the same distance away.
Yeah.
Here it comes, guys. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and NOAA played a role in that. We monitor the earthquakes, and we have buoys out in the ocean that measure the tsunamis, and that's why we try to tell folks, yeah, that earthquake that happened in Chile is not going to cause a tsunami in California, or, hey, the one in Japan is definitely going to cause a tsunami. It's going to be pretty serious.
Does that have to do with the plate tectonics, or is it the
totally.
Currents
yeah,
in the ocean?
It's a mixture of the shape of the ocean seafloor and the plate tectonics. My colleagues up in Palmer, Alaska, are there 24/7 waiting for any earthquake. Sounds like a kind of a boring job, but on the face of it.
No, but, not if you know anything about
it. Yeah, because they're looking at the entire Pacific Ocean. So when I was visiting up there, every so often there's an alarm, and it's like, okay, that's just a 4.2, no big deal. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, it's a 6.5. And so they look at the earthquake, and they actually track their locations. They know the kind of plates that might be in a certain location, and they make a preliminary estimate of what the threat potential for a tsunami is, and they start ramping up. And then as soon as a wave passes any dart buoy out in the ocean, that's the kind of buoy that measures tsunamis, then they have great data they can put in their computer models, and that's how they were able to get within about 20 or 30% for the last one in Japan. You know, they gave us 8 hours of advance notice, and they almost nailed the forecast, timing and size, so pretty impressive.
Palmer's got to be the stud location. If you want to work earthquakes in your biz,
yeah,
that's got to be like going home.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I've thought about it. You know, obviously, I'm really interested in tsunamis, and it's kind of become the area of expertise for me here, and I've thought about going up there, but my wife's not really on board moving to Palmer.
Yeah. Something about those really dark winters that come in with a little bit of chill.
Yeah, and I tell her she's been conditioned by living here in Humboldt County, but I haven't been able to yet persuade her that Palmer is the place to be. So.
Yeah, or you know, the other comment, what do you mean us?
Yeah.
See you around July. KINS, News and Information Times 422. We'll be back with more from Troy Nicolini.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini from the, what is the official weather station title? Is it Humboldt Bay?
It's the Eureka Weather Forecast Office.
Okay, so Humboldt Bay isn't involved.
No, and we cover four northwestern counties, but we just, it's kind of like your post offices go with the town they're in. So we're in Eureka, so we say that we're the Eureka office.
Okay.
Yeah.
And more. Troy, I know that you guys are still trying to work out the siren thing and getting the local residents to try to understand what's going on a little bit with the warning system. It was funny, Dan, the news guy on KINS, we were talking when we had the real deal last year. In the mornings, we could hear the sirens.
Pretty eerie sound, too, isn't it?
In the dark. I just thought, okay, that's kind of what it's supposed to be like. No big deal. I mean, kind of like, I guess, what World War II would have sounded like.
Yeah, right.
Okay, fine.
That's true. We've seen it on movies, yeah.
Yeah. But with the drill on Wednesday, didn't hear it. And I started thinking, well, we had, with the rains coming in, we had the winds going in the other direction, kind of blowing the sound waves, if you can do this, offshore, or at least dulling it down so it didn't get as far.
Yep. No, you're right. You're spot on. Atmospheric conditions really affect how siren noise propagates.
So yeah. how do you allow for that?
Oh, I love that question. That's
or do you bother and just say, you know, we're going to do our best?
Yeah, no, that's a perfect question. We get a lot of questions from folks, not just about why they didn't hear the siren, but there's some areas where we simply don't have sirens. They're not the best tool for every location. They're really good for some concentrated waterfront populations.
Right by the hospital?
Yeah. So what we say is there's two points, really. We've got like 7 systems to let people know. And our goal in testing all 7 is that for a real event, we hope at least 1 or 2 reaches every single person in the region. But we don't expect all 7 to work or all 7 to work for any individual person. So, for example, the siren is really not for inside houses and buildings. We call those outdoor sirens now. They're for folks who might be out taking their dog for a walk or walking on the beach or kayaking on Humboldt Bay. And in those cases, the sound really is pretty effective because you can hear it.
I would think if you were kayaking on Humboldt Bay and there was a warning going off, we're going to see who really has the mustard to be able to get to the shore.
Who's
quickly.
Practiced the proper stroke, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when those sirens go off, the shortest they'd probably have would be like a couple of hours. So I think most folks hopefully could get to high ground. If they feel an earthquake in their kayak, that's a more dicey situation. They may only have 10 minutes and they've got to paddle quickly to the nearest shore and go to high ground on foot. So you're right about
that. Is there a rule of thumb that you folks use about feeling
10 minutes
an earthquake?
Yeah.
You've got
10 minutes till the wave gets here is our basic rule of thumb. And we hope you have a little more time, and there's a small chance you might have a little less time. But that's from all the earthquakes around the world. You know, Japan, they had 20 minutes, in some places even more. In Indonesia, they had 10 minutes, some places more, of course, because it was a big event. But yeah, 10 minutes for the natural warning if you feel the earthquake. For the official warning, that's really the case where the earthquake's too far away for you to feel. And the sources for that would be the Aleutians, in which case you got about 4 hours till the wave gets here. Japan, we know that. We just had one about 9 hours. Chile is about 12 to 14 hours. So in a lot of cases, you have quite a bit of time to get to high ground and get your stuff. And
I know it sounds weird for a lot of folks, but for me, the toughest thing with the situation last year was that there was so much time in advance. We're not in Tornado Alley. We don't have hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Our events are bam and they're gone, or it's flood.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Easy to figure those things out.
Yeah,
this lead time kind of got a little numbing after the first, the adrenaline rush.
Yeah,
because nobody's going to be able to keep that high going that long, and then we're just kind of sitting around waiting.
Did I call you directly?
Yeah,
I called you in the middle of the night. I think.
Yeah. So, we had talked.
Yeah.
There was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, here it's coming.
Yeah.
But how do you maintain that sensitivity for the community for that length of time?
And you have an amazing ability to hit right at the heart of the matter. In that event, it was sort of really awkward timing. It was like right after the evening news was kind of shutting down that we started knowing about this. We flipped the switch for the warning at 1:30 in the morning. We did not turn the sirens on for that exact reason. I couldn't imagine, nor could the three coastal counties, sending everybody up into the hills at 1:30 in the morning for a wave that was going to arrive at 7:30 in the morning. So we actually waited until about 4:30 to 5:30 to turn the sirens on and actually really do the targeted evacuations, because that seemed like that was plenty of time for folks to get out of their house to high ground. 1:30 would have been too early. So we factored that in definitely for the population. But for the emergency responders and for the broadcasters and for like my staff.
Showtime.
Yeah, we were basically cranked up like, okay. And yeah, now it's like 5 hours of we're watching the dark buoys.
Who got the pizza?
Yeah. But this event was nice because it crossed buoys right away off the coast of Japan. So we really knew what was coming. Back in 2010, the Samoan event, the wave missed all the buoys. And that one was kind of like, okay, there's this freight train coming across the ocean in the dark of night. We had no idea what was happening.
Okay, well, not like we ever do around here.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 4:35. We're back to our talk shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Troy, with the current stuff that's going on now, as I've been telling my buddies throughout the country, yeah, we're in a fluid situation. And they all groan at the same time. So,
I think it's funny.
Yeah. Good. 1 out of 20. My hit ratio is kind of soft. A lot of water dumped in a real quick time with the soil that was not really saturated, but wasn't really dry, so it kind of had a chance to absorb. Are you surprised at the runoff percentages with this in the last couple of days?
They came in, the main rivers came in lower than we expected, so I guess you could say we were surprised by that. Our forecasts as of yesterday were for several rivers to flood. Not major flooding, but just definitely flood. And they came in lower than we expected. But the rainfall amounts came in kind of as where we expected, and so that caused flooding of small streams and ponding water. And so it turns out the impacts from that were pretty significant. As we were talking, there's been closed roads from mudslides, there's isolated communities. So the impacts actually ended up being pretty significant, just from the straight rain, not necessarily from the rivers.
What is flood stage? I don't mean
facetious. No, that's a great, yeah.
We were monitoring Klamath.
Yeah.
Because we've got some stuff going on up and down with our stations. And it's at flood stage at Klamath. And I'm thinking 64 flood. Oh, my God, the bridge is going out.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute.
You know,
you go to certain governmental highway locations and they say everything's normal. Well, no, there's a disconnect here. So what is flood stage?
Flood stage in the National Weather Service, and we coordinate this with emergency managers. The idea is if a river gets out and hits a house or a numbered highway, we consider that serious enough to call it like a flood stage or a flood warning we would issue. If it just floods farm fields, we call that around here, we call it monitor stage. It's a lesser flood level.
Is that the same as warning stage?
No, monitor is like the lower one, and then warning and flood stage go together. I know, it's a language that we use. At the end of the day, we try to translate all that stuff for people into what it literally means. So in our forecast, we would say, for example, Highway 101 in Klamath is going to be flooded. So we try to just forget about that. That's an internal language we use, and emergency managers kind of know it. But for the average person on the street, we translate that into English. So, for example, this stage on the Eel River, we say Cannibal Island Road is flooded. I know that's not too shocking when rains Cannibal Island Road.
Yet another stunner.
Yeah, I know. So we actually try to translate down that to meaningful descriptions about what is going to be flooded and what's not going to be flooded.
So you don't use highway marker number?
Sometimes.
No, the CHP got to you.
Yeah,
Dalen's smiling right now.
We use that more. We actually, there's some really cool new web designs we're looking at for describing what the snow levels are going to be and whether the passes are passable. And so that would be sort of more of where we'd use a mile marker. Yeah.
When you say Klamath is flooding, and I think probably most of our folks listening are familiar with that area.
Yeah.
You've got the old city limit, or the old site. You got the current site. You got the bridge. And then you got the spot down low where the riverboat. Yeah, the trailers.
Yeah, it's the low spot.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what flooded in 2005, and it separated the town in half. And, you know, it gets a little awkward for emergency personnel because they might be on one side of that flood, and if there's a heart attack on the other, that's a really awkward situation. And right now that's the case for Requa, or earlier today, they were isolated from a mudslide, and they're working on getting access to those folks. But it's just very unsettling. And you can imagine if you were in that position, like, okay, no one can get to me and I can't get out. Hope nothing goes wrong.
That would have been relaxing.
A nice thing.
But, you know, the cell phone probably would have worked and screwed everything
unfortunately.
Up.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, and we still have weather on tap for the rest of the weekend, too.
That's what I was going to ask. Is this the high of it, or is this low?
The rain has peaked and the river flooding has peaked, but there's still ponding water. But and folks who've been here a long time kind of get this rhythm. We have the south winds, and they're kind of warm, and the rain hammers, and we get flooding and stuff. Now we're on the backside. There's a cold front coming through. And so tomorrow morning, we expect some really high winds from that up to 40 knots. And with the wet ground, that's the time when trees will come down, power lines will come down. So tomorrow morning could be really problematic. And then after that goes through, then you get that kind of those clouds that produce like thunder showers and hail. So tomorrow afternoon, we're looking at some small hail. And in Minnesota, they don't blink at small hail. But around here, it turns out it causes a lot of problems, especially on the coast where folks aren't used to driving through that. So we really encourage people to, if you see hail up ahead or you see a black cloud ahead, let off the gas pedal, ease into it, no jerk on the steering wheel, no stomping on the brakes, and you should be fine.
You sure you haven't been talking to Dalen?
Does he say that same stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny. That, yeah. All right.
So as we see no more moisture coming down, does that necessarily mean we're not going to see moisture on the ground?
Yeah, I should say we still have like an inch to 3 inches through tomorrow, but it's not the heavy rain. And that'll actually keep everything kind of flatlined. So especially low-lying areas that are currently flooded and have some ponding water, that'll probably stay there certainly through tonight and into tomorrow.
Yeah. When you guys do your flooding forecast or warning or monitoring or whatever level we want to look at, I'm sure you must account for the tidal activity, whether it's going in or coming out.
Yep.
Will it drain? Will it yep. not drain? Do regular folks pay enough attention to that kind of thing?
That's a good question. I think the folks who live like in the river mouths, like the Ill River Delta and the Klamath River, do. They watch the tides, and there's a lot of local knowledge and history in this region of folks who actually know a lot about how the rivers behave. And so, in fact, a lot of that we leverage off to, you know, we have turnover in our staff. Our staff comes from all over the country. So we try to infuse some of that local knowledge into how we operate in our local office here. We kind of mix the science with the common sense and the local knowledge to get the best possible product. And the tides are a really complex one because in some cases the tides don't have as much of an influence as people think, and in other cases it has more influence. So we try to unravel that with the science and the, you know.
So getting together with the communities and some of the long and the tooth, that's why you guys have so many parties out on the island.
Yeah, exactly.
Inviting these folks in.
Yeah.
Okay. Clarify that one too. KINS, News and Information Times 441. We'll get them in trouble when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 445. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini from the Weather Service. Troy, as you look into this weekend, the next couple of weeks or so, I know that many of the folks out there aren't hydrologists, and that's okay. How long before the impacts of this storm normalize?
Get us up to where we need to be with rainfall, you mean?
And regular, and the rivers are running full, but they're not going crazy, and the fields aren't as they are now, and it becomes a normal winter rather than a let's pay attention.
Well, we're looking at the early part of the week having a nice Sunday morning, nice break, and then Tuesday some more storms move in, but they're much milder. And the talk around the office is looking out beyond that and looking for sort of transitioning into our normal sort of seasonal pattern. So
we haven't had one of those for about 6 months, though.
Well, we seem to never have a normal one anymore. You know, I mean, that's what people say on the street, and I certainly sympathize living here myself. So, So the crazy thing is you've heard of El Nino and La Nina. There's also other climatic patterns we look at.
And we have other names, too?
Well, yeah, and they're...
And?
Pacific Decadal Oscillation, for example.
That's not... No. We can't dip chips and guacamole to that.
No. And so So those other trends are saying that we're trending towards normal after this series of events right now. So I guess there's hope.
So we get normal wet in April and things get foggy.
And then get foggy and windy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's hope.
And then it's fall.
Right. And then winter.
Is there anything, you mentioned the hail that's anticipated for tomorrow afternoon. Is that across the board down to the ocean?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Right to the coast. And honestly, we're still looking at the snow levels. Right now it looks like 3,500 feet, so it shouldn't cause big problems for the passes. But our guys are looking at it right now as we're talking, and if it comes in lower, we'll start letting folks know about the passes if people are going to go east for the weekend.
Do you guys have the cameras, or is it CHP that has the cameras, or is it Caltrans and ODOT that have the cameras?
We're not shy about taking data from anybody's camera. So, for example, we use Caltrans. We use CHP, we use the Harbor District and the Coast Guard. We've worked with them to get the bar cam, and we'll essentially take
utilize.
and of course, we get permission, but yeah, so we actually look at all those cameras to kind of validate what we think should be happening with our computer models and our judgment.
I think that's one of the coolest things that's happened in the last 10 years is having those 199 I'm more familiar with.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can sit there at your home before you plan a trip and see. Okay.
You can look at it and say, okay, yeah, it is, or no, it's not, or, And at least you know, have that visual confirmation. Of course, if it doesn't work for tidal waves, maybe it does work for snow.
It works great for snow. I was actually checking the conditions for my wife coming back from Reno. They take their mom gambling every year, you know. And so I'm looking at the cameras, and I saw her drive by on the camera on Highway 80. Can you believe that?
I had Rob do
what
that.
What are the odds?
When I was coming back down from Brookings at the veggie station. Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Right, the
fruit and
customs
da, da, da. Yeah. The thing that's manned now that wasn't 2 or 3 years
right.
ago.
Right. What happens if you say yes, by the way? I've always wondered that. Do you have any fruits or vegetables that you've brought
in? Oh, you've never seen the RV in front of you?
Oh, where they pull everything out?
Oh, yeah. They'll go through. Yeah, they recognize me. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, get out of here.
Yeah.
We don't want to be seen with you. But it was... Yeah, you gotta go. Well, hey, I just saw you. It's back in the days when you could talk on your cell phone and drive.
Legally. Oh, right.
Oh, just saw you. Oh, bye.
Oh, no kidding. So you've had that happen
are
too.
Are you kidding me?
What are the odds, huh?
Yeah. So some of that stuff is cool.
Well, we use it for our forecast extensively.
Is there more emphasis or more desire to have more of those? Is that a budget item that you guys are pushing?
We don't really spend any money on cameras, frankly. We like to have other people's cameras, but also we have people in the community that call us, and that's really powerful. Called our spotter program. We train them. Yeah, and they call us in and they'll let us know, yeah, I've got hail or I have snow at this elevation. Or we can call out to them and say, are you seeing snow?
Is that something you're looking for more?
Always, especially people who live at higher elevations in those remote areas. That's where we don't have any data. That's what makes the job so hard in this office, because all we have to the west of us, where the weather comes from, is the Pacific Ocean. People who forecast farther east of us, they can see what happened in Eureka and say, oh, man, it's coming. But we just have the ocean, so...
So the real weather experts and artists on the West Coast.
Absolutely.
The lazy ones are on the East Coast.
Oh, I would never insult my colleagues on the East Coast, but just between you and me, it's a little easier because they have seen what has already happened in California. Yeah.
You realize that this thing is now available for podcasting.
Uh-oh,
and
this
minutes.
Is national possibly. Yeah. I'll be getting grief from the...
Set them up, knock them down.
Of course, they'll say that we have it easy because we don't have tornadoes, we don't have hurricanes, you know.
No, but you've got Pabstein you have to deal with, and that balances it out a
absolutely.
Lot.
Absolutely.
If folks are interested in assisting you guys, just give you a call.
443-6484, yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then you'll take care of whatever the training is and all
yep,
that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff. Very cool. Well, I hope not to hear from you. For less, at least the next week or so.
Sounds good.
Does it? Good. Yeah, and vice versa, the need not being there. Thanks for coming by, Troy.
Thank you.
Both times.
All right.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Join us on Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow morning.